Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. I'm Rod Hampton, your host, with inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. Here's the lineup of our stories for this week.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. It is called The Best Night Ever. We're going to hear how one church strives to serve and love those with disabilities.
I'm John Graham, and he was a star linebacker at Michigan State. Chris Norman joins us on today's Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. In this half hour, we discuss the challenges of churches that are plateaued or in decline and hear from a pastor who is working to revitalize his congregation.
I'm Myrna Brown. How many times has your church sang the Christmas classic, Mary, Did You Know? We're spending time with the singer-songwriter who brought that Christmas standard to life.
Also today, the story of IMB missionary Gina Wilson in Scotland on our Missionary Moment. So stay where you are for this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. This church is connecting with a sometimes overlooked group, adults and teens with special needs in their community. It's called Best Night Ever, and Life with Purpose Radio's Juliana Smoke has the story.
North Jacksonville Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, is reaching a specific demographic with the love of Christ, adults and teens with disabilities. They are doing so by having a free formal party for adults and teens with special needs, called Best Night Ever. Josh Revis is the associate pastor at North Jacksonville Baptist Church, and he joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Hello.
Hi, Juliana. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Josh, you helped lead up the Best Night Ever. How did the Lord lead your church to help serve this demographic?
Well, our church has a Sunday morning Bible study class for adults and teenagers with special needs, and we have about 15 folks on a regular basis who come, and we realized that there wasn't a lot happening for them in terms of activities outside of church, and we wanted to have a night to celebrate them because we believe that they're close to the heart of God. And so we found the passage in Luke 14 where Jesus says that if you throw a big party, don't invite rich people or your family or people who can repay you, but he says to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, because they can't repay you and your reward will be in heaven. So we decided to take that very literally and throw a big giant party and invite this special group of people.
Wow. And your church seeks to have them feel special from beginning to end.
Yeah, it's a giant party. We do it at absolutely no cost to the participants. They come dressed in their best. It begins with a red carpet where we have hundreds of people there cheering for them, taking their pictures. We give the guys shoe shines. We buy tiaras for all the girls. They get their own special host for the evening that takes them through the night. We take portrait pictures. We have a giant spread of food and dessert and music. We try to make them as special as we feel like the Lord would want them to feel.
Wow. It sounds like an amazing evening. How many people participate?
This past year was our second annual event, and we had 80 participants, and those individuals ranged anywhere from 12 years old to in their late 70s with any variety of physical or mental disability. So we had in the area of 250 volunteers helping with everything from valeting cars to serving food, doing shoe shines, attending bathrooms, doing all of these things to make sure that every detail was covered.
Wow, so everyone plays a part in serving.
Yeah, there's no job too small or too big, and we tell our folks this is about serving and making much of them. And we have folks all the way from middle school age, seventh grade, all the way up to senior adult age people who come and volunteer their time.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure all along the way you all are sharing Jesus.
We make no secret about the fact that we're a church and that this is a ministry of our church, but we invite the community to come. We have group homes, individuals from all parts of the city that come. And as they come, we take time to let them know about the ministries of our church, what we have available to them as a family, how we can meet their needs. And also, we try to be an example and a testimony for Christ through what we're doing with the event, but also as we share the gospel with them going forward as we make contact beyond the event.
You know, this sounds like a powerful ministry where you are not only sharing Jesus and serving those with disabilities, but to the caregivers as well.
Yeah, we understand that it's a full-time responsibility in many situations. And so we feel like if just a few times a week we can offer those parents or guardians an opportunity to come and be fed in a church service in a situation, in a setting where they don't have to be directly responsible for their kids or the ones that they're taking care of, they have an opportunity to be ministered to. We have an opportunity to minister to those that have the special needs. And so everyone's being blessed all the way around.
And now your church is helping other churches to create ministries for those with special needs.
Yeah, as word has gotten out about our event, we've had several churches call us and ask us what we're doing for the special needs community. A lot of churches realizing they don't have anything for folks with special needs and they want to begin that. So we've begun helping people strategize and put together programs to meet those needs, to minister to those families.
Josh, how can we get more information on Best Night Ever?
You can get information on Best Night Ever by going to our church website, njbc.org/bestnightever.
We've been speaking with Josh Revis, Associate Pastor at North Jacksonville Baptist Church. Josh, thank you for joining us today, and we will be praying for those impacted by the Best Night Ever.
Juliana, thanks so much for having me. It was an honor.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
When the need is overwhelming, many tune it out. Around the world, there are men, women, and children who are starving because of war, drought, corruption, poverty, and natural disasters. This is where the body of Christ should be, bringing relief and the gospel to the hurting. Make a direct impact right now. Visit worldhungerfund.com. 100% of your donations go directly to feeding the hungry. worldhungerfund.com, an outreach of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Thank you for listening each week to Life with Purpose Radio. If you're a football fan, there's a good chance you know the name Chris Norman from Michigan State, and that he took a detour from the NFL to seminary. Well, Chris shares his story with John Graham on today's Culture Connection.
He was a captain of the Michigan State football team in his senior year, and he ended that year with 197 tackles for his entire career. But at graduation, when linebacker Chris Norman was being pursued by the NFL, he was also being pursued by something much more powerful, and he's here to tell us about it. Chris, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's do a little bit of history. Tell me kind of how you got into football and your success. I know you'll feel like you're bragging on yourself, but tell us how you got into all of that.
Well, I started playing a sport when I was about 9 years old. When I got to high school, things started picking up, and schools across the country were interested in me as a football player, so I got offered from a few places. But I chose to go to Michigan State just because it seemed like the best place for me to go. And while I was there, I experienced a little success in my football career.
Well, a quick Google search on your name finds a whole lot of exciting things that happened while you were at Michigan State. But at some point, something more than football came into your life. Tell me how you met Christ.
I went to church all the time. I did the choirs and the food drives and et cetera, et cetera. But as I got older, I started to develop a resentment toward Christ, the gospel, and the church. Jesus was a deity that you approached, not because you necessarily loved him or not necessarily because he was interested in you, but because he was, you know, just a part of the schedule. But sophomore year, at the last game of the season, we were playing against Alabama. I go down with an injury, and it was at that moment that the Lord really took everything that I lived for, and he took it away. And I was forced to reconsider everything that I've been taught for so long when I was growing up. A friend of mine invited me out to a Christian football camp. And the difference between what I saw at that camp versus what I saw growing up in the church was people who thoroughly enjoyed the God who they served. Not only did they do the right thing, but they enjoyed and they relished in doing it. And so once I saw people have an affection for Christ, have a genuine love for him, I became attracted to his person, and on the night of May 24, 2011, he got a hold of me, and he changed me. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And so you go back to school. You have a very successful senior year, and every college student's dream, the NFL's looking at you, right?
The ones who reached out to me were the New England Patriots, the Chicago Bears, the Denver Broncos, and the Seattle Seahawks.
And so when it came decision time, you made an unusual decision for most folks and your, you know, your peers. Tell me about that.
Well, I chose to, instead of pursuing the NFL, to pursue vocational ministry and seminary. The main ingredient in this whole decision-making process was a desire to obey and a desire to follow. And that desire to obey and follow really stemmed from what Christ had already done in my life. It stemmed from the fact that he changed me. It stemmed from the fact that he rescued me from sin and Satan. And he called me his own.
Four NFL teams wanting to look at you, and you feel God saying, no, I want to call you out as a minister of the gospel. What did your friends say about that?
Some folks thoroughly did not understand why I did what I did, and that's still the case even until today, but that's all right. Because at the end of the day, and I said this even back in January when I made the decision, I just want the folks to see the value of Christ. I want people to see his beauty, see his majesty, because he's simply worth more than any football game or any potential dollar amounts or anything.
What would you say to our listeners, Chris, about listening to God?
Follow Christ. I think Jesus really alluded to this when he says, whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Mm. It was those times and those moments where I denied myself and followed Christ that I experienced the most intimacy in our relationship. Everything that this world offers fails and pales in comparison to him.
Chris Norman, graduate of Michigan State, former football phenom, now serving Christ and training to be a pastor or minister. And so thank you again. Until next time, I'm John Graham, bringing you the Culture Connection.
Every week on Life with Purpose Radio, you hear stories of people living their lives with purpose and stories of caring Christians around the world. And we hope as you listen, they inspire you to live your life with purpose. And we'd like to hear your story. You can connect with us by email, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com, and give us your comments about today's program. Maybe you have a question about a program in the past or your story suggestions. We'd love to hear those as well. And another way you can talk to us is to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at LWP Radio. That's LWP Radio on both Facebook and Twitter. And here's an opportunity to get a free gift. It's the hardback edition of Words of Life, a devotional book from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook, lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. Fill in the short form there, and we'll get it into the mail to you absolutely free. Just our way of saying thanks for being a listener to Life with Purpose Radio. Well, as we get back to our stories, here's Myrna Brown.
Thanks, Rod. So how many times has your church sang the Christmas classic, Mary, Did You Know? Well, we're spending time with the singer-songwriter who helped bring that classic song to life.
Also yet to come, we hear the story of international missionary Gina Wilson as she takes the gospel to the people in Glasgow, Scotland on our Missionary Moment. Before all of that, we go to Ron Lawson in the Life with Purpose Radio studio for our story of church revitalization.
It's becoming a significant challenge for churches in the United States. Most of our churches are not growing. They are either plateaued or in decline. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a pastor who is leading his church to be revitalized and growing. Let's listen.
I'm so happy to have with me here in the studio Troy Bush. Dr. Bush is one of our finest Georgia Baptist pastors leading the Rehoboth Baptist Church in Tucker, Georgia. Troy, thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Dr. White, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Troy, we want to talk to you today about the subject of church revitalization. I know that you're in the midst of leading Rehoboth, one of our strongest Georgia Baptist churches through the years, but in the last decade or so has had some real transition to be a revitalized congregation. Could you give us your perspective on the need for church revitalization?
Yeah. When we think about Rehoboth, it really parallels a lot of churches that we see not only in the Atlanta metro, but around the country. Most of my ministry, I've been involved in urban church planting. And so we normally think about new works. But when you step back and you look at the existing body of Christ, there are billions of dollars of kingdom resources. And we also have a population of believers that sometimes we actually overlook as if they're not capable of continuing to reach their community. And so when we think about our churches, many of which are plateaued and decline, I think one of our greatest opportunities forward in reaching our cities, reaching our country and our communities, really is in stepping in with revitalized efforts in these churches.
You mentioned plateaued and declining churches. I heard a number the other day that Southern Baptists have about 72 to 78% of their churches that are in that condition. That's pretty serious.
It is. It's very serious. And obviously, if we don't address that, a decade and two decades out from now, the picture that we see in all of our communities, and even our cities especially, is going to be much direr than it is today.
I had the joy of being with you and your congregation just a few weeks ago, and I met some great people really committed to the community and reaching the community for Jesus Christ. Could you describe the community that surrounds Rehoboth during these days?
Yeah. Rehoboth has a really, I started to say unique, but it's not unique for established churches. This had been fairly homogeneous community several years ago. And Rehoboth was one of our stalwart strategic churches. It would have been largely Anglo. There would have been some other ethnicities there and had fairly traditional ministries, but were done in cutting edge ways. Today, what's happened in our community is it has transitioned ethnically so that there's a much larger African-American population. Clarkston's just right around the corner from us, less than a mile away, really. And so you've got a square mile there that is the most ethnically diverse square mile in the entire United States. And then socioeconomically, this community has dramatically changed, and so that we span the gamut all the way across that spectrum. So at Rehoboth, one of the things we have decided to do is not simply to be a niche church and only engage one particular segment. We're going to be a church that engages all nations and all generations. Now, we're going to have to do that in some varied ways, but at the same time, we have a responsibility in our community to take the gospel to all the nations that are there and all the generations that are there.
Absolutely. And it's exciting to see what God's doing already. I wonder if you could just share with our audience some of the things that you all are doing to penetrate the community.
Yeah. It really starts with not a commitment to grow the church or even to revitalize the church. And I think that's a vital element of revitalization. It's not simply about going back to the glory days of attendance or fame. It's about reaching our community. And our folks have become desperate about reaching this community and taking the gospel there. And so that looks very different. We have great rec facilities, and so we're revamping and revitalizing our recreation facilities, our worship services. We're doing the same thing. We've done fall festivals, and we're doing community service projects. We are launching two community service projects every month that we're going to be doing over the next several years.
Well, that's outstanding. You know, in our convention, we have a vision that leads us to 2020, where we talk about five primary areas of focus, the first one being spiritual renewal, kingdom generosity, church revitalization, authentic evangelism, church planting. And in all of these areas, we're going to be really focusing as a convention over the next several years. I know that revitalization is among them one of the greatest needs that we have is Georgia Baptist and Southern Baptist. What do you see as the impediments to revitalizing our congregations?
Yeah, I would say really the number one thing comes back to this word of desperation, and that there's a lack of desperation in many of our churches. Rehoboth has walked through some of that period. And I think we could misstep there that the desperation is not just a healthy church, not simply a growing church, but a desperation to reach our communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we will regain that desperation, then a lot of these other roadblocks and barriers that we have, frankly, they'll take care of themselves.
Amen. I believe that wholeheartedly. It's been such a joy to talk to you today, Troy. I've been speaking with Troy Bush, who is the pastor of Rehoboth Baptist Church in Tucker, Georgia, and we want to thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
My privilege, Dr. White.
For more information on church revitalization, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
You may know Buddy Green best as the gifted harmonica player for Gaithers and Gaither Vocal Band, but he's also a songwriter. And Myrna Brown has more of Buddy's story now on Life with Purpose Radio.
His first instrument was the ukulele. From there, the guitar. But that is the instrument many of us fondly associate with singer-songwriter Buddy Green. And joining us now on Life with Purpose Radio is Buddy Green. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Myrna. Good to be with you.
I want to start by asking you about the harmonica. You started playing when you were in college, right?
About 19 or 20, something like that, yeah.
And never put it down.
Once I learned how to do a couple of tricks like a train whistle and bending a note and making it sound bluesy, that's when I was hooked. It's because it's just, you know, that's when the coolness factor kicks in.
All right. Get me on the piano. That's it. Not only is he with us, folks, he's in us and he's for us. Who could be against us? Oh, I've been washed in the blood, and I'm fully forgiven. I have tasted the goodness of my Savior and Lord. He has brought me from darkness to live in His light, to love, serve, and honor Him with all of my might. He's a way, truth, and a life, hope for you and me. He has broken every chain and led this captive free.
Now, you grew up in Macon, Georgia, just down the road from where we're recording this interview. How did that environment, how much of an influence did it have on you musically?
You know, it had a huge effect on me being in a town that produced the likes of Otis Redding and Little Richard and the Allman Brothers, you know, eventually settled there, and Capricorn Records, all of that stuff. You know, that was all during my formative years as a musician.
How did you come to know the Lord?
Yeah, I grew up in the Baptist church. We went to Ingleside Baptist Church, at least my high school years. I remember that was the place. That was the that was the last church I went to before I ran away from the church. As I went off to college, I turned my back on the church, thought that I could just make it through life on my own, and began to make one bad choice after another until my mid-20s, and then that's about the time that I started cracking the Bible back open, kind of looking for some answers.
Yeah.
The way the Lord works is He was directing my path, and before I knew it, I was going to a Bible study that kind of felt like a safe place for somebody like me to ask some questions, and then I started sneaking back into church. I went in, you know, 15 minutes after the church service started, and because I didn't want to have to shake anybody's hand or greet anybody, and I just wanted to get information.
Then
when they would bow their heads for the final prayer, I would get up and leave and go think about what I just experienced. And that went on for several years till I finally just felt myself coming alive to Christ.
Yeah. No more sneaking in. In fact, you and your wife in Tennessee are founding members of your church. It seems like you know a little something about church planning.
But once we got in there and just started experiencing fellowship and meeting good friends, and I mean, I was hungry to know more about the Bible, and this was a great church where there was just great biblical preaching and teaching. And
I want to talk about a song.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy one day walk on water?
I know you've had this question many, many, many times before. A song that you collaborated with Mark Lowry, and it has become just the Christmas standard. And I just want to know, did you guys have any idea the kind of impact Mary Did You Know would have all these years? I mean, it never gets old, never.
No, I had no idea. Mark had carried those words around for about 6 or 7 years, I believe. And one day he handed them to me. You know, I took them home without even looking at them, really, until about a week went by, and then I noticed him on my desk one day and took a look at what he had written, and was just kind of astounded. And also had a little musical idea popped in my head immediately, and I just ran with it. And about 30 minutes later, I was calling Mark to ask him if he liked the direction I was going in, and he loved it. We got it over to Michael English. He was working on his first record. That actually became, I think, one of the first singles that he released from that recording.
And the traveling, all the traveling that you do, have you ever done any short-term mission work?
The late 80s and early 90s, I was doing quite a bit. My good friend Steve Green invited me on a South American trip. He had grown up on the mission field down in Argentina. I've traveled to South America and to Spain with him. It is very eye-opening for an American Christian to get out of this country and out of this culture to go see what God is doing. I think it gives you such a better idea of what the kingdom is.
Amen. I agree.
And how God works multiculturally, and at least it was for me. It's been one of the best things I ever did.
It's been great talking with you, Buddy Green.
Same here, Myrna. It's always great to talk to a Georgian. Thanks for letting me speak to your listeners today. This has been a pleasure.
Pleasure is all ours. And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Bray.
Today's Missionary Moment takes us to Glasgow, Scotland, here on Life with Purpose Radio.
It's an area that's known for really low average life expectancy compared to the rest of Britain and Western Europe, high teenage pregnancy, a lot of addiction, alcohol, and drug addiction, especially injected drug addiction. And so it would be a common thing that out of 100 people that we bump into, probably less than two would actually have a personal relationship with Jesus. We could have chosen to live in another area that was a bit more comfortable and safer, but then we would have just been doing kind of drive-through ministry. Jesus never did that. I never see in Scripture him doing drive-through ministry. I see him actually walking with people, getting dirty with people, getting messy with people. I actually see him engaging the misfits and the folks that in society that no one liked. Being able to journey alongside with them, to celebrate with them, to grieve with them, to laugh with them, to cry with them, and all the while, hopefully showing them grace and love and speaking truth into those situations and showing them that this is how the power of the cross impacts that life circumstance right there. And that that should be just as natural as breathing to us. And that it doesn't just change their behavior, but that it changes the affections of their heart. That they begin to love him, that their affections grow for him. By serving with the IMB, we have just a really unique privilege to do life around the world, yet we're supported back home by the Crawford Program, the Light of Moon Christmas Offering. Because I am supported, I have a place to live, I have a car to drive, I get to have people in my flat and have meals, and I get to go play basketball at the gym. And that allows me to connect with even other folks who don't know Jesus. I get the privilege of doing life here. If it were not for them, I would not be here. I would not have the privilege of doing life in this manner, in this way. And so I'm so, so grateful, so thankful. I count it as a great privilege.
For more information on North American and international missionaries, just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope the stories you've heard today have inspired you to live life with purpose. As you heard about, Best Night Ever, The Faith Journey of Chris Norman, Church Revitalization, Buddy Green, and IMB missionary Gina Wilson in Scotland. Please be with us next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose. And visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and Agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.